T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli, my man, let's go.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
Knowing the Bulls, they'll make it a condition for the next coach that Boylan sticks around as an assistant or a scout or something. I just honestly don't think that they have a grasp on how to win basketball games in 2019. And my proof is their record. And my proof is their record the year before that. They haven't been in a championship conversation really since Derrick Rose got injured. The whole thing is just so sad. It's so sad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 10 o'clock tonight, so we got a lot of time to hang out together. This show is crazy. All killer, no filler, baby. That's what we're doing on tonight's show. Here's what we have planned for you. At 8 o'clock, Chris Ranji is going to join me from St. Louis. He is going to defend his city. And I know what you're thinking. Which city is he going to defend? That's what we were thinking, too. Basically, what's going to happen is that Chris Ranji is going to get on here and lie to you about how great St. Louis is. Why? Because he can't say anything else. His show is like the number one show in St. Louis. He can't be ragging on St. Louis, can he? Well, we'll see. He's a quirky man, so maybe he surprises us. I'm also looking forward to just talking baseball with Ranji, and honestly, I just love him. So him being on the show is great. Also on the show, Dion Miller of ABC 7. She and I sat down, like she was here, we were doing House of L, and I was like, you know, there's actually some really good stuff in here that I should bring to the Score audience from our conversation, so I'm going to do that. Some good stuff about covering the Cubs and their season ending and how the Bears season ended, and Dion's just delightful, so we'll do that at 9, all right? 9:30, Kendall Gill is going to be here, and we're going to talk about the Bulls. He's got an event on Saturday. I actually just really like Kendall, too, like just talking with him. He was so funny, like talking to us over at NBC Sports Chicago about the Bears. He was talking about Nick Foles, and, you know, Kendall's got some MMA background in him. Like, he will fight you. And he's like, we gotta tenderize those ribs, Nick Foles. The Bears didn't do a good enough job of that, and they ended up losing. So we'll talk with Kendall about that, his Illini, a little bit about the Bulls as well. The phone number is 312-644-6767. Keep it in mind because we're going to – I thought that McNeil and Parkins did a great interview with George McCaskey. Not good, great interview with him. And I wanted to share that with you. And because George is not really someone that you hear from a lot. And I like when you get an opportunity to hear things from the highest level. So that's where we're going to start. And I want you to react to it. I always like when we can do this in real time where you're texting in while stuff is going on at 670-11 of things that you hear. But I thought the interview, they asked all the right questions. I thought there were some interesting answers from George about where the Bears are as a franchise right now and how maybe we shouldn't be patting them on the back just yet considering how things ended. So that's where we're going to start. Bears owner, chairman, George McCaskey. On with McNeil and Parkins show in a great interview. Take a listen.
Well, we feel good, and we're so grateful to the fans for sticking with us. The 4 years before 2018, it was hard to be a Bears fan, quite frankly. And they kept the faith, and you saw it rewarded to some extent in 2018, and we're hoping for bigger things in 2019 and beyond.
Do you have the I told you so, Gene? Because a lot of people say no.
No.
You can do a touchdown dance if you'd like.
What's there to be beating our chest about? We haven't reached our goal. Our goal is victory in the Super Bowl. That's what we want.
As you vividly recall, goals happen, accomplishing goals, you know, happen in steps. There was a painful loss to the 49ers in 84, and everybody went to Platteville convinced that 85 was going to be the year. Do you feel that energy in the building, that there's that much optimism after the turnaround you made this past year?
I think there's some sense of that. Matt in the locker room after the loss to the Eagles told the players, remember this feeling. And remember that you don't want to feel this way again. So hopefully it'll be a catalyst. You know, you never know. You can't rely on that too much. You got to put in the work every year, and I think our guys will.
What did you see when a lot of fans and media were saying that it wasn't enough to just move on from John Fox, that you should have moved on from Ryan as well, and you stood with him and extended him and said, no, this is the right guy that's going to lead us here? What did you see that so many people didn't?
I don't think it's a question of what was seen that a lot of people didn't see. Even when we interviewed him, we liked his organizational skills, and we saw throughout his tenure his leadership. And it was especially impressive during tough times. He didn't panic. He didn't lose it. He stayed the course. And I think the people in the building really appreciated Ryan's steady hand at the helm.
Bears chairman George McCaskey is in studio with us. Once the season ended and Matt and Ryan spoke to the media, the biggest news that came out of that probably was how open Matt Nagy was with his connection to Kareem Hunt and that he had just spoken with Kareem Hunt. If your football people bring to you the recommendation to sign him, is that something you're open to?
Well, we're not there yet. Ryan said as much. And I think it's an indication of the kind of person that Matt is, that he reached out to Kareem Hunt. He said it was a non-football conversation. He was just checking in. He had coached him for 1 year in Kansas City. And I think that says a lot about Matt, that it's not just a player-coach relationship with these guys. He cares about our guys as people, not just players. And that's all it was. Ryan said himself, we're not there yet. The guy's not even eligible to sign with the team at this point. So,
But you're not closing the door completely on the possibility.
We're not there yet.
George, has the matriarch seen the video?
I don't know that she has.
Do you think it's important she does? You leave that up to her?
She leaves that up to me. And I haven't seen the video. I understand. There are people that have a morbid curiosity to see other human beings at their lowest points. I try to have some discipline about that myself. It's not important for me to see it at this point. And if we ever get to that point, I would make sure that I saw it. But, you know, it's not just incidents of domestic violence that get caught on video. This is a vexing social issue that needs attention, and not just from people in the NFL. And not just from teams with owners who happen to be female. A lot of times it's a he said, she said situation, and family and friends and police and prosecutors need to sort through and find out which person is telling a more credible story. It's a very, very difficult situation. And as a society, we've got to get on top of it.
You have some experience with it from when you guys brought in Ray McDonald. And I went back and read the quotes. You said that you would be in a place to, quote, make a better decision in the future. And you asked yourself, what more could I have done after Ray McDonald's arrest once he was a member of the Bear? What did you learn from that experience?
Well, the biggest lesson I learned, and I said it at the time, is I didn't go with my gut. My gut told me no, and I went against that, and it was a mistake, and it was my mistake.
How involved will you be in your conversations with Ryan and Matt about that possibility when you get there? I assume, based on the emotion you're exhibiting when you discuss this, largely involved.
Well, we have a process in place, and I've said many times to Ryan and to Matt and to Bears fans, I don't get involved in personnel decisions unless there is a character question.
Right.
And Ryan and Matt know that if there is a character question, they need to bring it to me.
We were talking off air about, you know, my experience in Kansas City, and Matt worked with Andy Reid, who loves and prides himself on giving guys second chances. And that's Matt's background, too. He said at the press conference, I give second chances, but not third chances. Is that something that you talked about with Matt in the interview process, his desire to give guys second chances?
No, it didn't come up.
Okay. So, but do you agree with him on that philosophy, I guess, of second chances, but not third chances?
I agree that if the circumstances are right, second chance is warranted. The question is, in a particular circumstance, and every situation is different, does that person deserve a second chance? And in this particular situation, we're not anywhere close to that. Ryan himself has said, we're not there yet.
George, you know, as we are as a nation facing change and the way we look at things with domestic violence, there also is a change, a shift in attitudes towards marijuana in this country. And the NFL's collective bargaining agreement is unique from other professional sports, and the players have to test for it. Yet it's endorsed by the AMA. What is your feeling on where this should go?
The NFL is still gathering information about whether there are medical benefits to medical marijuana, recreational marijuana. And we rely on the Health and Safety Committee and the medical experts that we have at the league level to recommend courses of action on that. At this point, I don't see anything changing in the foreseeable future.
Okay, but how do you feel about it? It has to some emotional reaction. No?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Did you inhale at Arizona State? Just curious.
I was too busy studying.
We both did in college. Broadcast major. Studying? Were you broadcast? I know you broadcast. Were you a broadcast major at Arizona State?
Yep.
Okay.
George McCaskey in studio with us on The Score. How would you characterize the possibility, you know, the collective bargaining agreement's up in 2 years? We don't want to miss any football. What are the chances of missing football in a couple of years?
Well, the goal, of course, is that we not miss any games. We were able to avoid that except for what happened to be our one preseason game in Canton in 2011. You know, we've got a good thing going. We've got the greatest game. We try to be good stewards of the game. And the hope is that smart people on the player side and smart people on the management side can get together and get a deal done.
How would you characterize the relationship right now? Because the players that I talk to, including some who are player reps for teams, right now are not optimistic. But obviously there's a lot of time in the future. How would you characterize the relationship between ownership and players right now?
Well, I think it's pretty good. I know just in our situation, we have a pretty good relationship with our players. There's open communication. There's trust. There's respect. But, you know, when you get to a league-wide deal, I think in a lot of situations, rhetoric takes over, and there's posturing and positioning. That's part of the negotiating process. The real test is, you know, when they go into the negotiating room and they sit across the table from each other, can they do the right thing and get a deal done?
I thought it was a pretty incredible show between you and your player rep and the team with the social justice initiative. Is that something that in your mind shows like, hey, we can work together, ownership and players?
Yeah, the whole idea of that social justice initiative was to encourage collaboration between the players and management. And I think it really helped improve relations that we had that initiative to sink our teeth in. And our players were great there. They were engaged. They did their homework. They rolled up their sleeves. They did the work that needed to be done. They researched who they wanted the beneficiaries of the social justice funds to be, and they wanted it to be more than just showing up, having a photo op with an oversized check, and then taking their leave. They wanted something where they could be involved in the programs being promoted by these agencies.
George, let's talk a little football. 8 days before the season begins, Ryan pulls off the deal for Khalil Mack, and it shocked NFL America. Can you tell us that you had any inkling it would have the enormous impact that it immediately had on your football team everywhere? Culturally, the way guys carried themselves, everything seemed to change from all accounts.
Yeah, I think Khalil transformed the team, not just the defense. Ryan said it very well. When your best players are the hardest workers, that's a good thing. And Ryan also said, you know, when you have an opportunity to get a premier player in his prime at a premier position in the league, you've got to take advantage of that opportunity.
You're a rookie linebacker. Just he acted like he belonged from Jump Street. You're a Bears historian. There have been some pretty good linebacking groups in this town. Is this the best?
Wow. Better than Singletary, Wilson,
Wilbur.
Marshall.
Yeah, yeah. With Rivera and Morrissey backing him up, that's not too shabby. Yeah.
Better than Bill George, Joe Fortunato, and Larry Morris. Time will tell. It'd be great if they consider the gauntlet thrown down and want to prove themselves to be the best. Roquan Smith has just been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Stepped right in. Hard worker, quick learner, great closing speed on the field. And I love how he just makes a tackle and jogs back to the huddle. Very workmanlike attitude. It's great to see.
Does he remind you of anybody in their first year? It doesn't have to be at his position. Just as ready as he seemed to fit. Did anybody come to mind?
I would say Mike Singletary.
In year one?
Yeah. Just stepped right in and took charge and didn't look back. Worked out pretty well for Mike Singletary.
Yeah, it did. Not so much as a coach, but he broke a few helmets.
As a player, it worked out. Back to Khalil Mack then for a second. It's a historic move. No one's ever traded more draft picks for a defensive player, and no one's ever paid more money for a defensive player. You guys did both of those things for one player. They've got to go to you for approval on that sort of thing. Any hesitation?
No. Ryan said that he and Matt were talking about it throughout training camp. The first I heard about it was, I think the trade happened on a Saturday, and Ted Phillips came to me the Thursday prior and said, looks like this might happen. It's going to cost us two number one draft picks. I said, okay. He said, this is also going to blow the committed cash budget. I said, let's go get him.
Wasn't hard for you.
No. Like Ryan said, you have an opportunity to get a player like that. You've got to seize the moment.
We're talking to Bears chairman George McCaskey in studio, McNeil and Parkins on the score ahead of the 100th year anniversary. And again, ChicagoBears.com/celebrationweekend for all of the details on that. Something that texters and callers and even some media members will talk about is, you know, there's a lot of McCaskeys. And what happens?
Big pile of McCaskeys.
Yeah, there's just a lot of them. I was looking at the board of director website on at Bears.com. There's nine names on the board. Six of them have the last name of McCaskey. What happens next? Can you tell Bears fans 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that the Bears will still be owned by the McCaskey family?
Well, my brother Pat says that we want to own the Bears until the second coming. So that's the goal. And we have every intention of carrying that out. We don't know what circumstances are going to bring us to challenge that, but that's the goal.
Not everybody shares Pat's conviction, though, correct?
You mean in the family?
Yes.
No, I would say we're very strongly in favor across the board.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Has that changed? Or has it been that way since you can remember?
It's been that way since I can remember.
Okay. All right.
What do you think the NFL looks like in 10 years? What changes do you see happening to the league, whether that's technology or data or player health? How does the league look in 10 years?
Well, I think in 10 years, the officials are never going to get a call wrong.
That'd be good.
And no, seriously, I hope that we make significant progress on the health and safety front. We've got to continue to do everything we can to make the game safer, both for players in career health and post-career health. To me, that's the biggest challenge facing our game. But again, we've faced big challenges before, and I'm very confident that we're going to make the changes that are necessary to continue to make it safer, and that the changes, the innovations that we bring about will filter down to other levels of football and to other sports. You know, we've got to make youth sports safer across the board. And we've got to get kids away from the screens and outside running around doing something to deal with the obesity epidemic in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So we've really got to attack it on several fronts.
You know, with the officials' comment, yeah, it would be wonderful if they never made mistakes. You had your own heartbreak when a field goal didn't go your way. I wonder if you've ever had, maybe you didn't, but more compassion for someone else's postseason heartbreak than what happened to the Saints this past Sunday. That's soul-crushing stuff, man. You work so hard to get there, and it comes down to that.
Yeah, it's like Matt said to the team, at the end of the season, only one team is happy. And we were, of course, very disappointed with the sudden end to our season. We feel for the Saints, but, you know, there's going to be missed calls. And to me, it's one of those things where that's something that a championship team is expected to overcome. It's like the weather. It's like injuries. It's like missed assignments. It's like poor play call or bad scheme in a particular series, whatever. That's part of it. And to be a championship team, you have to overcome it.
So you're of the mindset, like a lot of people are, stop talking about the officials. If they protect Drew Brees better and he doesn't get picked on their series in overtime, things happen differently and let's quit crying about it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, I don't know how you would process that or administer that. Are we going to review non-calls? And if we review non-calls, then are we going to review the other 21 players on the field to see if they committed a foul on that particular play? I don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, that's what everyone is looking for, a solution. And what keeps coming up is let the coaches challenge whatever they want, and it's up to them to be judicious. Do you support that?
No.
No.
I don't think fans want to sit there for 8 hours while we super slow-mo every play that every coach thinks was not called the right way.
Well, it's the same number of challenges as he can challenge anything. Just as it is today with the number of challenges, you're still within 2 minutes, questionable, you go to replay, but within the context of the first 58, the coach still has the same number of challenges, but you know, has the opportunity at any time on anything.
Well, when instant replay was first introduced, it was primarily to determine lines. You know, was he inbounds or out of bounds? Did the ball break the plane of the goal line or not? You started getting into things that are more subjective. You know, if you see a receiver and a defender going down the sidelines, there's hand fighting going on both sides all the way down. So you're going to say, well, he flicked his pinky there. I'm going to let that go. Well, hold on a second. Here's an arm bar here. A championship team needs to overcome those things.
Okay. You're going to lose the grass at Soldier Field someday? It was good this year. It wasn't a topic of conversation, but any conversation about a new field?
It's been good, I think, the last couple of years. I think 2 years prior to 2018 and again in 2017, I think we had 3 home games in December, and I thought the turf held up very well, and it's a credit to the collaboration between our groundskeeping people, led by Ken Marock, and the Park District's groundskeeping people, led by John Nolan. And when you have that kind of collaboration and a little bit of luck, you get a good playing surface. And I've often said, to me, just because a surface looks good doesn't mean it plays well, plays safe. And by the same token, just because a playing surface doesn't look good doesn't mean that it doesn't play well and isn't safe.
So, George, we know about the celebration weekend, June 7th to the 9th at Rosemont Convention Center. And again, chicagobears.com/celebration weekend. But what else can Bears fans be looking forward to for the centennial season?
Well, we've got a couple things going on. One of the things we're most excited about is we want to give fans an opportunity. We're going to donate $100,000 per home game to charity for a total of $1 million. And we're asking fans for input on how that money should best be spent. We don't have all the particulars worked out now about how that's going to happen, the mechanism, but we're looking forward to that collaboration with our fans. We're going to introduce a different classic uniform in 2019 to help celebrate the centennial. The big off-season event, like you said, is June 7th through the 9th at the Rosemont Convention Center. We're going to have alumni coming back. We're going to have panels. We're going to have autograph sessions. We're going to have mementos. We're going to have memorabilia. It should be a lot of fun. And hopefully our centennial season will conclude with a victory in the Super Bowl on the anniversary of the birth of our founder, George Halas, February 2nd, 2020. Wow.
So that was George McCaskey on with McNeil and Parkins. I thought it was really good. I saw that people were reacting via text, and I appreciate that at 670-11. I'd love to know what you thought. 312-644-6767. Was there any part of that discussion that stuck out to you as being relevant or important? I'd love to know. I have some thoughts on it, and I'll share them on the other side of a timeout. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
We're so grateful to the fans for sticking with us. The 4 years before 2018, it was hard to be a Bears fan, quite frankly. And they kept the faith, and you saw it rewarded to some extent in 2018. And we're hoping for bigger things in 2019 and beyond.
That was George McCaskey talking with McNeil and Parkins. I thought the interview was really good. I thought there was some interesting stuff that came out of it. I'd love to know what your reaction was. You sat there and listened to it. Some people texted in. I'll get to their thoughts momentarily, along with mine. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Credit Union One. Chicagoland's Credit Union. Credit Union One offers competitive low-rate jumbo mortgage loans. Learn more at creditunionone.org. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 384759. Each account insured up to $250,000 by Members' Choice. This institution is not federally insured. I am Lawrence Holmes. I am here with you until 10 o'clock. What I thought was interesting about, there are a couple things there. I can tell you this from my time covering the Bears when I was actually on the beat and I was going up there every day and traveling with the team, like that sort of thing. George was always accessible. And I'll never forget, the Bears were playing a preseason game in Tennessee. And I remember seeing George walk up and down the stands talking to Bears fans who had made the trip. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, the owner of the team is out here talking with fans like it's nobody's business. But George has that from his relationship of being the ticket manager for so many years. I thought that as far as the interview goes, there were a lot of hits. Like he did very well in talking about some things. There were some things I disagree with, like his assessment of the Soldier Field turf. Not that he's not right that the last couple years it was okay, but the idea that when it looked bad, it still played well. Any player who played on that turf will tell you that it was trash, and it was voted either worst or second worst in the league behind that crap they got on Heinz Field as the worst field in the NFL. So that, I think that he should be more thoughtful with his words when it comes to the Kareem Hunt situation. Not that he wasn't thoughtful. I just think that there could be some refining of it. But there are lots of Bears fans, and someone actually texted in, like, why are they asking him about social issues? Well, the reason is that the social issues affect the football team. That you have to take into account what happens with Kareem Hunt if you're going to sign him. Like, that's got to be a part of the equation. And I thought the follow-up on the Ray McDonald thing was a good question. And George's answer was great. Like, Danny pulling that quote, like, that's a well-researched question. And it allows you to then take it to George and say, you've already had egg on your face once. Do you want to do this again? Would it be worth the risk? I get the idea of making sure you have all the information before you sign him and maybe not being interested in it. The way George said it was kind of, I thought it was a very interesting lens to look at it through, where he's saying that he didn't want to watch people at their lowest point. I don't think that it's macabre to do that if your intention is to gain information. If you are someone who just likes violence and violence against women, then yes, it would be macabre. But if you're a fan who wants to know what the video says, if you're a team executive that's trying to figure out what happened, and when I compare it to the story that Kareem Hunt tells me, do those two things match? Which, by the way, the chief said was not the case. That he came in there and lied to them about what happened. And so having the video evidence helps to make better decisions on that front. I also liked hearing George talk about how the Bears are not in a place where they should be going, I told you so. I know people think that I'm a Debbie Downer when I say this, but if right now, if we turn back the clock to this point in 2018, you know who people would have been picking to go to the Super Bowl this year? The Minnesota Vikings and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those two teams did not make the playoffs. It's something to keep in mind. Things can turn quickly, and I appreciate that he seemingly understands that. He parrots a lot what Ryan and Matt say, and I don't think that that's bad. I think that that's good. I think that they've got his ear. He pays attention to what they say, and with Matt, maybe a little bit more so than Ryan, but Ryan this year for sure, they got results. So the more results you get, the more credibility that you're going to have with your owner. So those are some of the things I thought about it. 312-644-6767 is the number. Out to Rock Falls and Adam. Hey, Adam, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. I wanted to get your take on the connection between Mitch Trubisky and Kareem Hunt, being that they played as co-tandem running backs in high school or before high school, and then in high school they were rivals. Wanted to see what you thought, if that would sway the Bears to take Kareem Hunt.
Let me ask you this, Adam. A guy that you played Little League with, are you willing to vouch for them now as an adult?
Certain people, yes.
And certain people know, right?
Right.
I think that it would be unfair for us to look at the on-the-field relationship that Mitch Trubisky and Kareem Hunt had. And they had some crazy game when they were like 10, where Kareem Hunt scored like 8 touchdowns and Mitch scored 7, something like that. I think that that is a really unfair position to put Trubisky in. That he now has to be in a spot where he has to vouch for Kareem Hunt. And I think that we need to stop making some of these connections that we make. This guy played with this guy in high school. I know I didn't like all of my teammates. And you're seeing guys like even at the professional level now. Chris Bryant has been like, yo, these are my teammates, but I go home after the game. So you can ask them about what's going on. I don't think that it would be fair to do that. I don't think it would be fair to do that to Mitch. I don't know how close he and Kareem Hunt are. I don't know if that just goes to, well, we used to play against each other and, you know, I used to respect the way that he played and he respect the way that I played. I just think that'd be a bad spot to put your starting quarterback in, where it's like, well, if Mitch says it's okay, then it's okay. And then it backfires and it's like, oh, well. I also don't want players necessarily in personnel positions. You know who was really bad at it? The greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan. A texter says, how can anyone vouch for a man who kicks a woman? Great question. My hope is that we don't find out. And I thought that the most important point that George made was he can't be signed right now. So until he's off of the commissioner's exempt list and or you know what his punishment is going to be, I don't know. I think the Bears are actually in pretty good shape with their running game, and I suspect they will look for some free agency help and maybe draft a guy that can split the difference between Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. Fun little note about the Chiefs running game. Didn't really lose anything without Kareem Hunt. They averaged 4.6 yards per carry with Kareem Hunt. They averaged 4.6 yards per carry without him. So don't think that this is the thing that's going to put them over the top. He's obviously an electric player in that offense. But I don't know if you can't find someone who can play similarly without the attached baggage of him assaulting a woman in a hotel lobby. I don't know if that's a challenge that the Bears need to take on. Because as it stands right now, they're pretty good. Like, from a PR standpoint. Like, everything's great. You bring in Khalil Mack. He seems to be an okay dude. You have a bunch of guys that, for the most part, who knows what happens in an offseason, but for the most part, seem like an okay bunch. You really want to mess around with that? I don't know if it ends up being worth the risk. I hope that they're being as diligent as it seems George is talking about when it comes to these conversations. Oh, by the way, the Bears introduced a new defensive coordinator today. I'm going to let you hear a little bit from Chuck Pagano next here on The Score. At 8 o'clock, Chris Ronji, the man who owns St. Louis, is going to be on the show. I've got a lot of things that I would like to talk to Chris Ronji about, including his hair. This segment is being brought to you by Mass VR. Mass VR is having its grand opening February 1st. Join them and celebrate the opening of Chicago's first free roam multi-arena virtual reality e-sport facility. That's what I'm talking about right here. I love this. Get in the game and shatter the boundaries of virtual reality, 8,000 square feet of unrestricted movement. This all takes place at Old Orchard Mall by the Lord and Taylor building. So that is Mass VR. All right. Got a little virtual reality game in here. What are we stepping into the 21st century here at The Score? I love it. I'm not good at any of those games. Let me read a couple of your text messages about the interview with George before I give you a little Chuck Pagano. Going back to this one. Yeah, he didn't cry like a little baby like Tom Ricketts about the alderman and what the alderman isn't giving him. Here's the thing. I actually think the Bears have quite the beef with the city. Like, if they wanted to, they could complain, but they don't. Like, whenever you see Soldier Field, and the Soldier Field belongs to the city. I mean, I get it. Being used for anything else from the Bears, it just always bothers me. Like, oh, there's a high school game. There were weekends when I was covering the Bears where it'd be high school game, college game, Bears. And of course the field is going to suffer. You got a natural grass field, and you got kids like running up and down it, or let's do a Jay-Z and Beyonce concert, and then here come the Bears a week later. Well, everything's torn up now. And then players slip and slide. Here's another one. 815 text says, McNeil's okay, all right, after he was thrice denied on the McCaskey family question is just great. I heard it as okay. I don't know that I believe you, but okay. Yeah, I don't know if I believe George on that either. Look, George Halas is your grandfather. So I get that there is a connection with the league. I do wonder, though, are those kids like, how about we cash out now? Where are the Bears valued at? Like $3 billion? $3.5 billion? I mean, they don't have their own stadium, which is an issue, but it's still the bleeping Chicago Bears. And there's a lot of kids. And soon there's going to be, I mean, there already is a lot of kids and grandkids. That money's got to get split up at some point. But if you own an NFL team, there's only 32 of them and it's a cash cow. I would imagine that there are probably some people like, let's push in our chips and get the hell out of here with our $4 billion or whatever it is. $2.9 billion for the Bears. Even with the 87 kids that they have, that's still a nice chunk of change for everyone.
But who sells an NFL team unless they're forced?
It's a good question.
I mean, they could probably be, I don't know if estate tax mean anything or when Virginia dies, if that they make less and they want to cash in before she does.
I would imagine, I'd have to look this up. I'd like, this is where a guy like Hub would be helpful, but it's not like we just have him on call. Where the ownership stakes of the kids, I think that they're already in place. I think. Don't quote me on that, even though I just said it on the number one nighttime sports talk show in the city and the Midwest and probably the country.
Probably the world.
I mean, we are on 670thescore.com. Let's keep it real. 815 Texas says, I'm kind of irritated by how a lot of people are writing Jordan Howard off. Dude is a record breaker with their franchise and actually really found his groove in the offense in the back half of the season. Yeah, I'm with you. I also think that they could draft someone that could play the Taquan Mizell role better than Taquan Mizell. Is that Hub like calling in? That would be the best thing. That Hub was like literally listening and then decided to call into the show to explain like the ownership issue. No way. Okay, great. I'll play. Hey, Hub.
Well, who else would I be listening to driving home from the city?
Well, I appreciate you calling in. The ownership stakes of the Bears, how does it break down? Does Virginia own all of the ownership shares?
No, the Halas family share, which was 77%. Now, they sold off an additional portion of their interest. They still have the majority, but I don't know what the exact total is right now. It is held in a trust of which Virginia is the trustee, and the 10 surviving children and Tim's children are the beneficiaries of that trust.
That's what I thought. That's what I figured, that there was already some of this stuff in place, so it's not like it's anarchy when Virginia passes away.
No, there's a very clear estate plan and a order of transfer. I'm sure that it has its own little nuances. We couldn't really come up with the exact number. But basically, I believe their share it was reduced to about 60%. Of whatever valuation you want to accept. I had understood it was between $2.5 and $3 billion. A lot of the estate tax problem went away with Trump's new tax law.
They, yep.
I'm not an expert on that, but I know they changed some of that. And so there's a clear order of transfer and what it's going to come down to. And I hope Virginia lives for another 50 years. She's one of my favorite people in the world. We don't all live forever. Eventually, when she passes, the trust will have to be dissolved and reestablished, and it'll be in basically 11 shares. I don't know how Tim's sons split theirs, but then the other 10 surviving children would each get an equal share.
Do you buy George when he says that no one up there is even thinking about selling the team?
Well, no, I know that's not the case. There are some of the kids who would like to, but I do believe my understanding is that the majority don't want to, and that's all that matters. You can't sell, and you can, but it doesn't do any good to somebody to buy 7% from one of the kids. And so basically what would have to happen is it'd be a majority vote, I would guess. I don't know if they could force, if it was, 7 wanted to sell and 3 didn't, I don't know if they could force the other 3. But as long as somebody could acquire a majority interest, that's all it would take. But I do know that the predominant belief or position of the family is that they do want to retain the team if they can.
Hub, thanks so much for calling in. That was awesome.
I will be listening. I can't wait to hear what Ranji has to say.
Me too. He's going to say that it's boring. He better, because it is. That's Hub Arkish. Johnny on the spot. See? That's great. I was listening to Hub on when I was off on Monday night. I heard him like explaining a whole bunch of stuff. So I'm glad that, see, that's when you have an actual expert that can just be like, oh yeah, here's exactly what's going on. That's dope. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll have to wait to get to the Chuck Pagano stuff a little bit later, but it'll hold on. Coming up next, Chris Ranji, he used to work here. Now he does the number one show in St. Louis, like killing other shows, like doing tens. Like tens, man. 10 shares. 10% of the people there are listening to Chris Ranji's show. We're going to talk with him about whether his city is boring. Next, here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.